My mission is simple, to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
Hey, I'm Cramer. Welcome to Mad Money. Welcome to Cramerica. Other people want to make friends. I'm just trying to make you some money. My job is not just to entertain, but to educate you. So call me at 1-800-743-CNBC or tweet me at Jim Cramer. We just swore in our first pure business president, the dealmaker in chief, Donald Trump. And it's a brave new world for investors. Or is it? The market pretty much yawned after the inauguration. Okay, Dow edged up 95 points, but the S&P advanced just 0.34%. NASDAQ gained only 0.28%. You know why? Because we've heard it all before. Yep, we've been living with Trump's presidency and waiting for nearly 3 months. And I can't think of a previous elected official who's given you more of a pro-growth game plan than Donald J. Trump. He's been giving us a dry run for ages now, which is why I've been so flummoxed by the endless pundits who keep saying, look out. Here comes a real swoon. Now look, I swoons can happen. I think swoons, though, come out from left field. Huge sell-offs come from viciously overbought markets that are jarred by the unknown. Like if Trump had ordered all the Democrats off the stands, or he said he needs to challenge the checks and balances in the Constitution in order to make America great again. We didn't get that. His inaugural address was pretty much the same thing we heard when he was stumping around the country. Whether you love him or hate him, our new president has been pretty darn consistent on economic issues, which, well, is frankly what we have to care about for the purposes of Mad Money. Who honestly believes that we don't know Trump's precepts? Were you shocked by his two simple rules, buy American and hire American? Were you caught off guard by his call to build new roads and highways and bridges and airports and tunnels and railways? Were you surprised that he talked about how other countries are stealing our jobs? If you found today shocking, then you just haven't been paying attention. President Trump is simply sticking to the script that won him the election. Now, I almost felt like if we were going to have an avalanche of post-inaugural selling, it would be because the Trump stocks had run up so much that profit-taking seemed almost inevitable. Everything that can be exploited from the agenda has been exploited, and you can't re-exploit it all over again. But you can't really sell the Trump stocks yet either. Why? Because if our new president is true to his word, you could miss out on some substantial gains that come from the reality of his policies, not just the hype and hope that drove the recent rally. So ringing the register, it could be a big mistake. Still, before we get into the specifics of today's action, let me explain why you shouldn't take the president too literally when it comes to stock picking off the inauguration speech you might have heard today. Let's start with the biggest theme, his emphasis on buy American and hire American. For the last 23 years, ever since the passage of NAFTA, our businesses have been trying to buy non-American while they fire American workers. It's almost been a ritual. Raise their gross margins, raise profits, raise their stocks. Unless there's some sort of transportation advantage, meaning it's too impractical or too expensive to make the stuff overseas, there's a very limited universe of manufacturing companies that fit the buy American, hire American bill. Trying to pick stocks off, it's going to be very hard. Businesses move jobs offshore to boost earnings. Those jobs are most likely not going to come back. As for the companies that ignored this brave new world of globalization that's been going on since NAFTA, they tended to be gobbled up by their more aggressive competitors, which then immediately closed the factories here and moved them overseas, where Trump doesn't want them. So the stock traders bought today fit a very narrow America First window. Concrete companies, wood, plastics, I saw some ag, a lot of defense. I'm not against any of these choices. Aggregate makers like U.S. Concrete, Martin Marietta Materials, Vulcan Materials, defense contractors like General Dynamics, Raytheon, L3, as well as ag plays like Deere, not to mention anything connected with domestic energy and pipelines, they all fit the bill. They're all fine with me, even up here. Same goes for the pure American service providers, although they're a little less visible, right? And, of course, housing's purely domestic, too. However, the variables in some of these businesses away from the presidential agenda make this exercise a little more daunting. If business accelerates because of Trump's policies, then interest rates will naturally go up. And if rates go up, then logically housing and materials do poorly because it's more expensive to get a mortgage. That's called the business cycle. Trump can't repeal it. If we think that we can only own companies that sell locally, we're going to run into the Amazon factor. With retail, for example, you'd be buying shares in businesses that are being rapidly disintermediated by the new digital economy. President Trump might like those companies, but that doesn't change the fact that many of these retailers are doing quite poorly. The truth is, the president is far from omnipotent. He can't just snap his fingers and turn a loser into a winner. Hey, don't believe me? Let me give you some historical context that I thought was so ironic I had to share it with you. If you asked me what industry President Obama most favored during his tenure, I think it would be solar power. But what was the worst performer in the S&P 500 during Obama's years in the White House? First Solar, down 76%, outmoded by new technology. Oh, and while we're at it, what was the best performer under Obama? Kramer Fave Ulta Salon, simply because the Obama administration coincided with the era of the selfie and the need to be constantly wearing makeup the moment you walk outside. So let's not get too narrowly focused on Trump's agenda. In fact, I would like to step back, or at least over, and view the inauguration as part of the broader continuum that we've been talking about endlessly since he was elected. It may not have been all that clear, but Trump's starting fresh. He wants new jobs created here. He wants us to buy American when we can. He wants to change laws and crack down on countries that manipulate their currencies so American companies can keep building things here without hurting their shareholders. Trump is, alas, a businessman. He's not telling companies like United Technologies or Lockheed Martin, two he has tweeted about and talked to, that he wants their earnings sacrificed. You never hear that. He's just saying he wants better deals going forward. He's a negotiator. He wants to make our trade agreements more advantageous so that American businesses and workers do better. He wants to win on trade, something that we haven't been doing if you measure these deals by how much we export versus how much we import to different countries. I know some think that's simplistic, but it gives you a sense of who's benefiting the most from free trade. It's not us. So how does the president make that happen? He does it through the tripod. Yep, the subtext of the speech today was about the tripod of lower corporate taxes, deregulation, and repatriation of overseas funds. These policies would help companies create new jobs in America, which is why we have to focus on the biggest winners from that broader agenda. I keep coming back to the banks and the oils, the domestic companies not being hurt by competition or the need to import merchandise, as well as the companies with gigantic cash hoards overseas. And there it's a lot of tech companies. You've got to be thinking about companies like Apple, Alphabet, and Cisco, which have a huge percentage of cash that can come back here on repatriation. That's the better, smarter way to invest in the Trump regime. I've been emphasizing these stocks ever since the election. And if you stay tuned, you're going to get the full list of what's a Trump stock and what's not. Now, going forward, there are two major issues. One, how quickly can he jam the tripod through Congress? And two, will the economy do well in the interim so that stocks can keep rallying from here even if the agenda gets stalled? The second one is probably going to be a major issue. For the moment, I think stocks are more likely to get a honeymoon than a comeuppance. Let me use a stock example. IBM. Last night, IBM reported a quarter that many analysts panned, but I still felt that IBM's on track to become a more aggressive cloud-based company. Now, I looked wrong early. Then, however, after falling almost $3, IBM stock quickly reversed and vaulted, ultimately finishing up $3.74. It was one of the most impressive performances in the entire session. I think that's the glass half full people grabbing the vessel from the half empties. That's Trumpian optimism seeping into the analysis. Still, the clock is ticking on the tripod now that Trump's been sworn in. I'm betting the tripod stands because the Republicans control both houses of Congress and the presidency. So sabotaging this agenda would be like sabotaging themselves. Here's the bottom line. If I'm right, you should buy stocks into any non-earnings related sell-off and be glad you didn't panic out today like so many of the pundits again tried to get you to do, because it turns out there was nothing to panic over and nobody ever made a dime panicking anyway. Cody in Massachusetts, Cody.
Hi, Jim. My question is about Aetna, A-E-T. And I've had the whole thing for quite a while, but I'm just wondering with the healthcare situation at hand,
right?
What you see of for this company in
okay,
the future?
Okay, well, Aetna's involved in one of the mergers, and thank you for the question, Cody. I like to be the one that's merger-free. That's UnitedHealth. It just reported a stellar quarter. The stock ran up in anticipation. Stock has come down to a level that I think is perfect to pull the trigger on. UnitedHealth is my favorite. Clinton in Colorado. Clinton!
Hey, Jim. Booyah.
Booyah.
Hey, I just wanted to know what you thought about Las Vegas Sands as far as the Trump presidency, possible recent cannabis legalization, and then the Oakland Raiders moving in that market also makes that pretty interesting.
You know, I'm glad you asked about this, Clinton. I've been thinking about the Oakland Raiders ever since Adam Schefter broke that story in my Twitter feed. And I think that Las Vegas is going to do very well. But the problem with thinking about Las Vegas with Las Vegas Sands is I often think it should be called Macau Sands. It's much more levered to the Chinese market than we realize. I like it. But because it has so much leverage to the Chinese and it's so difficult to figure out what the Communist Party is going to be up to, that's why I like to have a little step back from pure China, or at least more levered to China, and go with MGM, Jim Murren's company, that I think is the best in show. All right. We already know President Trump's script, which is why the market gave us a bit of a yawner today, frankly. That's why I say buy into non-earnings-related sell-offs. Please don't sell. On Mad Money Tonight, just because there's a new leader of the free world doesn't mean we're abandoning the game plan. With one of the busiest weeks of the year for earnings coming next week, I'll tell you what you should be watching and what you should be buying and maybe selling. And a historic day calls for a historic amount of time to hear from you, Cramerica. You know we've been on top of what the new president's policies will mean for your money. And that's not stopping now. Send your calls, your tweets, and Facebook messages my way. And it was obscured by the inauguration today, a true blowout earnings report that's leaving Apple behind. I'll clue you in. Stick with Cramer.
Don't miss a second of Mad Money. Follow at Jim Cramer on Twitter. Have a question? Tweet Cramer. Hashtag Mad Tweets. Send Jim an email to madmoney@cnbc.com or give us a call at 1-800-743-CNBC. Miss something? Head to madmoney.cnbc.com.
No, no, no. We're not abandoning our traditional game plan, not with the busiest week of the year for earnings coming up. This is still Mad Money, not Mad Politics. But we can infuse our game plan with the thoughts of the business president, because there are political cross currents that could mute or augment the reactions to any of next week's quarterly reports. We start Monday with a classic Trump stock. That's Halliburton. Here's an oil service company that's primed for a drill, baby, drill presidency. However, as we saw from the reaction to Schlumberger's fine quarter today, you need to be a bit of a booster to get any traction here. Still, Schlumberger's sell-off has created some room for Hal to report a less-than-perfect quarter. I like both companies. We also hear from McDonald's, and this one's a test of the strong dollar writ large. McDonald's is a huge foreign business that will be impacted negatively by Trump's pro-growth policies that will most likely lead to a more robust greenback, already has to some degree, and that means the earnings estimates might have to come down for Mickey D's. But if CEO Steve Easterbrook can talk more about technology and loyalty programs and how McDonald's is going to do more to lure other consumers away with speed and price, I bet the reaction will be just fine. When I think about which stocks can help the Dow reach 20,000, remember those days? I always come back to 3M, which reports Tuesday morning. Here's a company that's heavily levered to improving worldwide growth, but also to innovation. And I'd like to buy some before and after reports. CEO Inge Thulin follows in the footsteps of a long line of chief executives at 3M who've made it their business to produce excellent profits while returning gobs of capital to you, the shareholders. That's why I often talk of 3M as the ultimate core holding. Procter & Gamble set a high bar for the consumer packaged goods stocks this morning with its excellent quarter. I fear the bar could be too high for competitor Kimberly-Clark when it reports, so I want to be careful here. The extra sauce that drove Procter's stock higher today, it came from a couple of recent and wrong sell recommendations that were really kind of based on the analysts anticipating a rotation out of those soft goods stocks into more of the industrials because of Trump. Whoops. Some companies can trump with their excellent execution. Now, what will Lockheed Martin say when it reports? Oh, you know what? This is going to be the litmus test of Trump's tweets so far. Will Lockheed feel compelled to trim its forecast because it's cutting the price of that Joint Strike Fighter to exceed to President Trump's wishes? Wouldn't that be something? This fighter jet is crucial to the company's sales and gross margins. If they don't guide down, I bet this stock goes flying, because that will show you just how robust the rest of the business must really be. Finally, on Tuesday, we hear from one of the most important Trump stocks out there, Alcoa, where we expect that the aluminum company is going to be vigorously protected by the president in its ongoing trade war with Chinese dumping. But before you get too excited, remember that Arconic, the engineered product original that is, we often think is the spinoff, has registered to sell its 36 million share position in Alcoa. If that underwriting comes to fruition, you know what? Buy Alcoa on the offering, not in the open market. The railroads have been in the news recently over some very aggressive takeover talk, possibly way too aggressive. I told you that I thought you should sell CSX yesterday. Now, Norfolk Southern reports Wednesday, and while no raider's trying to buy the stock, its stock has still been, to me, performing spectacularly. Too spectacularly. I want you to be careful with it going into the quarter. Remember, when stocks run up in earnings, it's very difficult for them to rally afterwards, even if they deliver terrific numbers. I think you want to ring the register in NSC beforehand, even though their biggest cargo, coal, will get a nice big boost from the Trump EPA. Boeing's results come out as well, and today Merrill Lynch suggested in a sotto voce way that the narrow body aircraft numbers, they might be weaker than people think. I can tell you the market is not prepared to hear that from Boeing. Plus, we know Boeing is a company that could be hurt by trade wars. Again, given these two circumstances, I say trim Boeing's stock before they report. Now, many bulls have decided that we're going to see a real acceleration in the global economy, and that cuts in favor of Freeport-McMoRan, the copper and gold play. The stocks run dramatically, but it's from a very low level. And if you believe both America and China are poised to accelerate, then it's worth buying some Freeport before the quarter, as the company's ongoing restructuring has finally made it so that I'm comfortable with its balance sheet. After the close, we hear from two great ones, Western Digital and Lam Research. This week, ASML, which makes semiconductor equipment like Lam does, including machines that a Western Digital might buy, gave you tremendous confidence about demand for its own products. To me, that indicates that both WDC and Lam could report blowout quarters. I'd own them both into earnings. You want an infrastructure play that can last through the early days of the Trump administration? Well, let's say Caterpillar should fit that bill. I say should, though, because there's another side of the equation. Cat's been hurt by the strong dollar, which aids Japan's Komatsu. Oh, and also, by the way, if Trump wants to step up the tussle with the Chinese on trade, well, the Chinese might take it out on Cat. You know what? There's too many cross ears here. Too many cross cards. Can't recommend it. But if Cat were purely domestic, like United Rentals, which rents out Caterpillar-style machinery, then it would be a home run. Unfortunately, United Rentals will report it on Wednesday. Too late to give us a call on Cat, but I bet you or I have some good things to say when it reports, even as its stock, too, has now run into nosebleed levels because of the Trump rally. We also hear from Bristol Myers Thursday morning, and we learn of another disappointment with their lung cancer franchise today. Bulls had hoped that if you combine two of their key drugs, it would lead to a dramatic improvement in lung cancer patients. Tests showed otherwise. Down here at 49, we need to hear that Bristol Myers will do a restructuring. I think they have way too much overhead now if they're not going to be able to boost that cancer, anti-cancer franchise. After the close, we get some controversial reports from Alphabet and Starbucks. I call Alphabet controversial because they need to rein in even more costs from their other bets division, or they need to start generating some accelerated revenue from those cats and dogs. The company have latest disposed of some of its biggest losers. I like the stock. We own it for Alphabet. We own Alphabet for my Chapel Trust, which you can follow along by signing up with the club, actionalertsplus.com. Don't forget that Alphabet is a big-time Trump stock because it has tons of overseas cash that it can bring home if Congress passes a repatriation deal. And you know what that is? The repatriation deal? It's part of our tripod. I'd buy Alphabet aggressively if the stock comes down after the quarter, because of that cash hoard's possibilities if it were to be repatriated to the United States. Starbucks is controversial. Why? Because of Howard Schultz's recent decision to resign as CEO. How much will it matter in the future? Maybe we'll get some clues when the company reports. Here's one that's not controversial. Microsoft. I expect to hear some excellent news about its cloud business as well as its regular old software business. And I think Microsoft could have a surprisingly good quarter. I don't know how much will be rewarded for it, but I think the risk is low. Finally, on Friday, I want to hear what the forecasters at Chevron have to say about earnings. Get a sense of how their production growth is going to. What's going to happen in this new era of what I call slightly higher oil prices? The earnings themselves, they won't matter that much. We look at production growth when it comes to Chevron. However, they certainly will matter with Honeywell. With outgoing CEO Dave Cote running what's most likely to be his last conference call, I think this man wants to go out on a high note. And I bet you get one. Although I warn you that the last few conference calls have sounded more downbeat than I think Dave may have meant them to be. Here's the bottom line. The prism of Trump and the pro-business tripod are potent as we hit the heart of earnings season. But so are the actual numbers. Be ready for real opportunities next week. There could be a lot of them, especially if the bears, who've been predicting a big Trump sell-off, finally do get their way. I don't think so. Plenty more Mad Money ahead, including my answers to your calls, tweets, and messages on what our new president's policies will mean for your money. Then we got to ask, is it
Trump stock?
Or is it
not a Trump stock?
The definitive guide on how to tell where your holdings lie. Plus, one tech stock that's left concerns about its attachment to Apple behind today and flew higher on an amazing earnings report. Did you miss it with all that inauguration hoopla? I'll get you back in focus. Stay with Kramer. A new leader in charge. Donald Trump has taken the oath of office to become the 45th president of the United States. Now, if you listen to his speech, you heard him say he wants to hit the ground running, promising to put America first and to follow two simple rules, buy American and hire American. You know we've been discussing this thing since the election.
Trump stop.
But I also know you got more questions now that he's finally in the Oval Office. Hey, you guys, I'm here to help. I'm here to help you guide your portfolio, let's say, under President Trump's administration. So I thought what we ought to do on this special day is open the floor to you to hear your questions. So first, we have a call via Skype from one of our loyal viewers. It's Dave in Illinois. Dave!
Dr. Kramer, so good to see you on this inauguration day.
Good to see you, Dave, for the first time. And I'm glad that we are taking this time out to get your questions and I need to have a conversation. How can I help?
Jim, I'm concerned about the super freaking strong U.S. dollar, as you like to say, modestly down from a 14-year high last December 20th. Are you concerned?
You know something, Dave, it's a great question, because today I was very worried that Procter & Gamble, which reported a magnificent quarter, would be hurt by the strong dollar, and it really wasn't. It gave me heart to think that a lot of these companies that would normally be bushwhacked by it may be able to skate through a little. IBM also has a strong dollar problem, and look how that stock acted. These are two quintessential stocks when it comes to getting hurt by a strong dollar, and they didn't. So I've got to tell you, Dave, I'm feeling a little bit more sanguine about that strong dollar than I would otherwise. And I want to thank you for all your calls and your incredibly kind comments. Always, you're a good man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
All right, let's take a message from one of our followers on Facebook, Mary Smiley. Mary asks, hi, Jim. I'm increasingly more afraid of what a Trump presidency can and will do to the stock market, especially considering Trump can tank a stock with one simple tweet. For those of us who are depending on our investments in the stock market to get us through retirement, what do you suggest we do to be safe? And you know what? I thought about a lot of this today because we were doing something this morning on Squawk on the Street, and Carl was mentioning six different pundits, all of whom said that we are now ready to crash or go down a lot. You know what? In the end, Trump's a businessman. And if we follow and parse all the tweets that he's had, here's what we learn. He specifically is negotiating with these companies to get a better deal, either for the American people who have lost jobs or for the government. And the truth is, none of the stocks has been hurt by it. And that's because, in the end, he's a business person. I don't think he's trying to wreck businesses. I think he's trying to get better deals. They're different things. It makes me, let's just say, more positive than the average person when it comes to Trump's relationship with the stock market. Let's go to Curtis in North Carolina, please. Curtis.
Hello, Captain Kramer, and thank you and the Mad Money Special Operations team for taking the call.
The team is so great. I mean, we put this thing together at the last minute because we said we have so much to say, but our viewers have so much to say, and our viewers are so darn smart. Let's open the floor. How can I help?
You're the man, Jim. Jim, I see where Smith & Wesson has changed their name to American Outdoor Brands. Beyond that, is there anything for long investors to be concerned about being an American Outdoor Brands? And as a follow-up point on that, I also saw a report where Sig Sauer, another maker of high-quality weapons, was awarded the contract to build a new sidearm for the U.S. government. Do you think this may impact the sector overall?
Well, look, I think this is it's a really interesting move by Smith & Wesson to do this because it is, without a doubt, let's say a hot-button stock. When you talk about a lot of things that it may not have been connected with when it comes to violence, I happen to like the company because it's incredibly well run. The stock has gotten very hit badly because it was viewed as a stock that was going to be a company threatened by Hillary Clinton. You've got to go buy guns immediately. All I can tell you, it's a well-run company. Is it my kind of stock to own? No. But people ask me about it and they want a stock in that area. That American Outdoor Brands is the one to buy. Let's go to Anne Marie in New York, please. Anne Marie.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for taking my call.
Quite welcome.
I'm calling from my home state of Indiana today, and with the new year and the inauguration behind us, I felt eager to ask you about a basic question about index funds.
Sure.
And the timing of my deposits. So I'm finally listening to what you said and not having all my money in individual stocks. I'd like to make a larger initial deposit to minimize my expenses
okay.
and then add to it on a monthly basis. But do I need to wait for a pullback to get started, or should I just get started now?
All right, let me tell you, I do something by rote by this, and I really appreciate this question. It's one that I should that I've answered in a couple times, but I'm going to do it as precisely as I can. I like to put my retirement money away in the following way. 1/12. Let's say I have $12,000 I want to put in my retirement account this year. $1,000 January, $1,000 February, $1,000 March. Then we get a 10% decline. I put more of that money to work in the month of April. So if you get a 10% decline in April, I pull through 3 or 4 months of that decline of the money that I was going to do each month and put it in the decline right there, because that way I end up with a better basis. But because I'm so fallible, because all humans are fallible, I do it 1/12 a month. That way I feel like I am not committing all at one level. And if the market does get hit, I feel so much better. And this has worked for me for 30 years. So I'm sticking with it. All right. Now we have a tweet from @riskband24 who said, @Jim Cramer, @MadMoney on CNBC, now may be a good time to address #BMY. What is going on? Still a hold? Okay, I was very disconcerted by Bristol Myers. My charitable trust sold the stock because we had begun to think that maybe this is not the same old Bristol Myers. This is a company that had a drug called Opdivo, which we thought was really fabulous. It was doing great against lung cancer. It turns out it wasn't doing that well. They had a second drug that we thought, in combination with Opdivo, might be doing very well, and it wasn't. That's what we learned today. This is not the Bristol Myers of old. This is a Bristol Myers that I think got way too promotional, which is one of the reasons that if you followed ActionNotesPlus.com, you know that we had to leave Bristol Myers. It was a terrible thing to have to leave it because it's been such a good stock. But you know what? It's not about being a stock. It's about being a company that gives you a very clear narrative about what can happen. And we have gotten the exact opposite from Bristol Myers. And I'm not happy, but I'm not involved, and I hope you're not. Next up, @Killipod. All right. Asks, @Jim Cramer, how do you feel about National Oil? Well, Varco, NOV, stock is an oil and gas player under the Trump administration. All right. This is really important. I gave a speech at the Deal Economy at the end of last year that was written up in thestreet.com where I said that when Baker Hughes mergers with General Electric's oil and gas business, the first thing they should do is go buy National Oil Well Varco. It's a great American company. It would fit right in with that new company that is GE Baker Hughes. And I still think it's going to happen. And I think the stock is a very strong buy. NOV, particularly because you know I think that oil's not about to plummet. All right, finally, @RealWelcomeMatt, oh, I like that, tweets, @JimCramer, you're right. @DavidFavor does look like Pena. Okay, here, of course, we're obviously talking about Narcos. I mentioned this to David Faber this morning. And you know what he said to me? He said, yeah, you know what? There's some resemblance. What can I say? He's always understated. I'm always overstated. All right, still more. Thank you so much, everybody, for calling. Still more Mad Money ahead. Are your stocks at risk from the next tweet out of the Oval Office? Your Trump stock field guide is just ahead. Plus, the double-digit tech mover that was obscured by today's focus on the inauguration. Don't miss the news that caused this move that everybody was buzzing about away from the inauguration. And all your calls in the lightning round and a week that was. Stay with Cramer. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Now that President Trump has officially been sworn in, there's a new rubric you need to use when you're evaluating companies in this environment. And it's simple. It's
Trump stock, not a Trump stock.
Dichotomy. Which is it? Don't get me wrong. I think it's crazy to do everything in the stock market through the lens of Washington. You won't profit that way. Today may have been the day of the inauguration, but it's also earnings season. And what individual companies have to say actually matters. Did you see that Skyworks today up 10? That said, there's no denying that President Trump's agenda, especially the agenda of deregulation, lower corporate taxes, and the repatriation of foreign assets, could have a huge impact on the economy, the stock market, and your portfolio. On the other hand, when our new president's got a problem with a company, he's not afraid to speak or tweet his mind, which can put individual stocks or even entire industries in peril, at least for the short term. Just because Trump is pro-business, that doesn't mean he's necessarily pro-every business. So who does benefit the most from the Trump administration's plans, and who could be in danger of drawing the president's ire? Well, we know we've talked about this before, but I think it's certainly worth recapping the most important Trump stocks and non-Trump stocks, just given the fact that, well, he did take the oath of office earlier today. Important day to do this. Let's start with what I see as the biggest winners. First, you've got the two industries that are poised to roar, even if Trump's legislative agenda gets stalled in Congress, because they benefited enormously from deregulation, which is an area where the president has a lot of latitude on how aggressively to enforce existing laws. I'm talking about the energy stocks and the bank stocks. These are the two that are the most bullish in my crosshairs. The story with energy, specifically oil and gas and the pipelines that transport them, is pretty straightforward. We know the Obama administration was focused like a laser on fighting climate change, which was good for the environment, but bad for anyone in the fossil fuel business. Trump's pretty much the polar opposite. He's a drill baby drill president, and he adores building new pipelines. More importantly, he's going to have the most pro-petroleum cabinet in history. If the oil and gas industry had a wish list for what their ideal government would look like, you're looking at it. Rex Tillerson, the former CEO of Exxon, at the State Department. Scott Pruitt, the Oklahoma Attorney General who's been suing the EPA, going to be running the EPA. Rick Perry, the former governor of Texas, who sat on a board of a prominent pipeline company before his nomination. He gets the Energy Department. You think this is going to be about solar and wind? Please. I think there are a lot of winners here, but especially I like the pipeline plays since they can make a lot of money even if the price of crude fails to keep rallying. My favorite is a company called Magellan Midstream. It's a pipeline MLP with a juicy yield that we own for my charitable trust. I'd also buy Schlumberger, the oil service giant that reported a fine quarter today, but the stock pulled back because it had run up in anticipation of any good number, and it kind of got one. That's an opportunity. You know what? You might also want to consider GE, which missed on its quarter for certain because of certain pushback in turbine orders, but fits the bill for infrastructure and oil service because of its deal with Baker Hughes that should close in 2017. My charitable trust owns both these stocks. You can follow all of the logic behind these moves by going to actionalertsplus.com. Second, the banks also stand to benefit enormously from deregulation. Dodd-Frank, complicated piece of legislation, has made these companies spend fortunes on compliance costs while preventing them from giving their shareholders big dividends and buybacks, and the Fed has also chimed in stopping that, too. You repeal or replace that whole sector, well, it gets a major boost. But even if they can't repeal, and I know that Steve Mnuchin yesterday, when he testified, didn't necessarily call for wholesale replacement, the president can appoint people to agencies that can be more lax about enforcing the law, which would really help these industries out. I mean, all the banks would benefited greatly if they just didn't have such a heavy hand of regulation. Trump understands that for the economy to really do well, the banks actually need to be in a position to lend money to people and not be frightened if they do it. The other thing is that if you believe, as I do, that our new president's agenda could jumpstart the economy, then the Federal Reserve is going to keep raising interest rates to prevent things from overheating. And every single rate hike instantly makes the banks more profitable. Now, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, and even the cross-selling challenge Wells Fargo have all reported strong numbers, although the latter's transgressions will probably actually get overlooked by this new government. Good news for Wells Fargo shareholders. However, the biggest Trump stock in the group is Goldman Sachs, and not just because so many Goldman alums have gotten high-level appointments, including our new Treasury Secretary, designated Steve Mnuchin. That's because Dodd-Frank curbed Goldman's ability to trade its own money. What they were best at, so relaxing or repealing those rules will boost the investment bank's numbers. Remember, this is a rising tide lifts all boats kind of scenario. Next up, anything that's directly levered to stronger employment is a Trump stock, given the job creation is the top priority. That means the payroll processors like Paychex and ADP, which also benefit from higher interest rates that should be coming if business accelerates. Again, something that's great for banks as well, because they need these higher rates to make more money off your deposits. We also like Cintas, the nation's number one uniform rental service. More hiring equals more uniforms. Fourth, anything with a huge amount of cash sitting around overseas is a potential Trump stock. For example, Apple,
Trump stock,
has $216 billion in foreign cash that it could bring home if we get a tax holiday on the repatriation of assets from overseas, something that I think will be a slam dunk in Congress. That's about $40 per share for a $120 stock. What else? Earlier this week, I called out Whirlpool as
Trump stock.
And that's in part because they're the last remaining manufacturer of dishwashers here in the U.S., and they really want the government to crack down on our so-called trading partners, which is absolutely on the president's agenda. I'd also highlight the infrastructure plays and the defense contractors. But while President Trump wants to spend $550 billion on infrastructure, it might be a tough sell to his Republican allies in Congress. You know, they're a little bit more tight-fisted, so to speak. And even though we know he wants to bulk up our military, he's also gotten aggressive about cracking down on cost overruns. Those are the Trump stocks, but what about the non-Trump names? The stocks that are in the president's crosshairs could get hit by an errant tweet at any moment. I think the pharmaceutical industry is the best example. Trump singled them out as having the best lobbyists and being really powerful, even though they do most of their manufacturing abroad. He said repeatedly that he wants to roll back many of the recent increases in drug prices. And don't even get me started on how much business the drug makers could lose if Obamacare gets repealed without any kind of replacement. In fact, most of healthcare falls into the non-Trump category, with the exception of Kramer Fave United Health Group, which already pulled out of the Obamacare exchanges last year because the business was so lousy. The drug stocks could especially be murky, if not awful here. And you have to worry about any American company that makes things overseas and then exports them back to the U.S., as Trump's been going after them one by one. And that was before he even got sworn in. It's also possible that retailers might be hurt by something called a cross-border tax that makes it more expensive to import goods. Bad enough that Amazon's killing them anyway. I would stay away from that group.
Sell.
Put it all together, though, and there's a lot more Trump stocks than there are non-Trump stocks. So here's the bottom line. Politics isn't the only factor that matters to the market. Far from it. But with the gridlock in Washington finally broken, it's taken on new importance. And at the end of the day, going forward, you'll feel a whole lot more comfortable owning the
Trump stock
than you would feel the
not a Trump stock.
So let's keep that in mind. Mad Money is back after the break.
This is the great Jim Cramer from Mad Money on CNBC. A really terrific show.
Wait, did the President of the United States just say that Mad Money is a great show? I think he did. CNBC is running an apprentice marathon tonight and all weekend. I think you should tune in. And now it is time. It's time for the Lighting Rail Conversion. And then the lightning round is over. Are you ready, Skate Daddy? Time for the lightning round. Question: let's start with Ike in New York. Ike.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course, Ike.
Okay. I own Activision Blizzard, which seems to run into a resistance at around 39. I'd like your general feelings about the company and whether you think it's wise to hold it.
Okay, so my favorite has always been Take Two. I've been bet with Take Two the whole way. It's certainly got a lot. Oh my, hold it! It's got more. It's got mojo than Activision Blizzard, but I like Activision Blizzard. See another. Come on, Omar in Texas. Omar.
A big howdy from the great state of Texas.
Fantastic.
Jim, I want to thank you for your market insight over the years.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you. Stock.
Hey, I bought Array Biopharma at $550 and took some...
Wow, come on, man. That's just banking of stock. You have got a chance right now to take out the house. Play with the house's money. Take off half, and you'll be a winner. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the conclusion of the Lightning Round.
The Lightning Round is sponsored by TD Ameritrade.
Yo, Daddy-O, how's it going?
Not bad there, Chief. What's shaking with you? Don't know Pena? He's the narc who looks a lot like my partner, David Faber, but you can't tell because David Faber doesn't have a mustache. Twins! Why don't we go to Miriam, or Mim, as I like to say, because my aunt's name's Miriam, and we call her Mim.
I love Jim Cramer. I watch his show. It's the bye, 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 sale, sale, sale.
Speaking of teams, is there any chance that you can be taken?
And I would just like to thank you. My son will be graduating this spring, debt-free from college. Thanks to you.
Yes! Yes! When a company reports a great quarter, you don't just want a blowout. You want a roadmap for further blowouts. And that's exactly what Skyworks Solutions gave you last night, which is how you get a stock to rally 10 bucks in one day, or 13%. On a day dominated by Trump's inauguration, it might be helpful to say a few words about the session's biggest gainer and how it came to be. One thing's for sure, it had nothing to do with Washington. Honestly, I don't know about you. I find that a welcome relief. If you don't know Skyworks, it's one of a group of semiconductor companies that got pigeonholed as helpless but grateful for being an Apple supplier. What are the others? Well, you've heard them. Avago, now Broadcom, Texas Instruments, NXPI, Qualcomm, Cirrus Logic, Qorvo, all held hostage. Now, Texas Instruments was always the paradigm here, a company that has a substantial Apple business, but never enough for it to be the be-all and end-all of its whole book. I always felt that that should be the goal of all of these companies. Just make Apple part of the pastiche, for heaven's sake, not the whole pastiche. Then when Avago bought Broadcom and then adopted Broadcom's name, they grew into more than just Apple's indentured servant. The move turned the stock into a rocket ship. Qualcomm, which Apple sued today for monopolistic practices, has decided to buy NXP Semiconductor to diversify away from cell phones and get more exposure to the connected car. Cirrus Logic has so much of Apple's sound business that I don't even know what it can do to not, except they just got to ride the tiger. Qorvo's trying, still needs more diversification. And then there's Skyworks, which has been the most aggressive at winning more and more Apple business and has therefore become almost a pure derivative play of Apple. At least until this quarter. There's now enough business involving mobile connectivity away from Apple and enough of a roadmap of the future toward 5G, which will be so much faster than the current 4G standard, that you can see why the stock soared today. It's free! It's free of Apple. Rather than saying how much of a certain large customer might need them, they use that term because you aren't supposed to mention Apple's name on any conference call for fear of losing Apple's business. Skyworks talked about how all the devices need its chips if they want to run Netflix, if they want to run Facebook, Uber, YouTube, Spotify, and Waze. Basically, as CEO Liam Griffin pointed out in what was a pretty electrifying conference call, if you want, and I quote, ultra-fast, low-latency, highly secure, and efficient connections, as well as location-based services, end quote, you need Skyworks chips in that device, whether it's a cell phone, a connected home with Amazon's Echo or Google's Home, or a connected car. And it's only going to get better as we await the rollout of 5G, which will allow you to download a full-length movie in seconds, as opposed to the current iteration, 4G, which can download a movie in minutes, or 3G, for heaven's sake, that used to take a whole day. Yep, this quarter was all about what Skyworks called, and I quote, growth and success outside our largest customer, which was music to analysts' ears, especially when the company told us that their inventories are lean and they're happy with the current state of demand from both the mobile and connected worlds. Now, Skyworks hasn't lost any Apple's orders and it's still incredibly important. It's still 40% of the business. But when you hear the streak of customer names away from Apple, including the clear number two, China's Huawei, you get a level of comfort that makes you a lot more willing to pay more for that $6.20 a share that the company might earn this year. How much? Certainly more than the stock's current valuation of just over 12 times next year's earnings. That's why Skyworks can, I believe, resume its long-term upward trend that ended when Wall Street started fearing its excessive exposure to Apple and Apple's decline in its growth rate. Perhaps the stock can even run back to 110, where it was 18 months ago, up from 78 only yesterday, and 88 after this incredible move today. Stick with Cramer. New president, new game, new rules, but we'll still work together to try to make some money. Like I said, there's always a bull market summer. I promise I'll find it just for you right here on Mad Money. I'm Jim Cramer, and I'll see you Monday.